Esther, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Hey. Mordechai has refused and will always refuse to bow down to the Hamans of the world. So while the rest of the world wants to talk about genocide and poor innocent victims of Jewish aggression, Haman is going to take revenge and set his sights not just on Zionists, but on all of the Jews. Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai koreo mishtachav elo. When Haman himself saw that Mordechai did not bow down and prostrate himself before Haman, vayimole Haman chema. And Haman was filled with rage, with abject, entireless rage, bottomless anger, ire. The hate that he feels for one person becomes hate for all of the people that are connected. The Ibn Ezra says that chema, ches mem hei, can also be cham, heating things up. Mayim chamin, hot water. Anger heats up the body. He absolutely loses it. And it also doesn't help that leadership can come from setting an example and dignity, or it can come from trying to overpower people and force them to bow down to you. Haman is not worthy of any kind of respect. Mordechai's clear, graceful, distinguished persona and lack of willingness to bow sort of demonstrates what a mean little man Haman is. And I say that without regard to his height. Who knows? Maybe he was tall. But he's an awful person. He's a little person in terms of his moral worth and value. He's amoral. He's got no moral value. We'll see that over and over again in the Megillah. And that makes him a very, very dangerous man in a court that's run by impulse rather than by careful consideration. This is what the message to Rehavam was when he said, my father whipped you with whips, I'll whip you with scorpions, is that be careful. If you rule like that, you're asking for trouble. And it seemed contemptible to him. It seemed insulting almost, beneath his contempt, to lay hands only on Mordechai. Because they had told him Mordechai was a Jew. And we call him Mordechai HaYehudi, his connection to Yehuda, to rule, even though Mordechai himself is never going to be a king-like figure. But that's too much. So Haman immediately, and you see, there's do not pass go, do not collect $200. Immediately his reaction, his rabid anti-Semitic reaction that we see around us in the world today, every single day at this point. Whether it's a guy smashing his car into 770 four different times and then trying to claim mechanical failure, whether it's a mayor of New York City who likes to split hairs about Zionism and Semitism are two separate things, the rabid anti-Semitism of the world never lets up. B'chol dar v'dar andim aleinu l'chaloseinu, we'll say on a different yontif. For the women in the audience, I will not mention what the name of that yontif is 1 month after Purim. So it wasn't enough. Ki gidolo esam Mordechai. Vayivakesh Haman lahashmid es kol hayudim asher b'chol malchus ha'hashvei rosh. And Haman sought to completely obliterate, to destroy all of the Jews, the people of Mordechai, of course. Am Mordechai. Really what is at the bottom of it is his own personal feeling of affront and resentment. But he wants to destroy all of the people of Mordechai. The Gemara in Megillah says, first, Am Mordechai is the Rabbanim, is the Perushim, is the people, the very best, the cream of the crop of Jewish society. But anybody who could be found within the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus. And after all, isn't that what Hitler himself tried to do when he decided to go after all the Jews, and he decided to go after the pious ones first, but the intermarried ones and all the rest, eventually their turn came too. And the census is a tremendous book about how IBM computers were used by the Third Reich to track down who was Jewish and then keep track of them while they put them in death camps. It's an astonishing, alarming book to see how much an American company had to do with the death of 93% of Lithuanian Jewry. So, b'chodesh harishon u'chodesh Nisan, pasuk Zion. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, b'shnash shteim esrei lamelech Achashverosh, in the 12th year of Achashverosh's reign. This is quite a while already that he's been this impulsive, not smart, not deliberate king. So there's been a lot of ups and downs in the reign of an orange-haired king who seems a creature of his passions. Just a joke, nobody get mad. He peeled poor hu hagoro lifnei Haman. A poor, that is to say a lot, a goyrol, was cast in the presence of Haman, miyom liyom, umechodesh lechodesh shneimasar hu chodesh Adar, from day to day, from month to month, to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So 11 months early, when the dice were rolled, when the lot was cast, he, maybe one of Haman's servants, maybe Haman himself, would cast lots to see what the day should be for the obliteration of the Jews. And he had to cast a lot of lots because he started from the following day, which was the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, but it didn't seem to work out with his horoscope, and so he kept casting lots for every successive day and month. He had to go through some, 310 days, 320 days before it landed on the 13th of Adar. What he should have realized, says the Malbim, right there and then, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving as much time possible for the Jews to be redeemed. Picking an unlucky day, ended up picking Adar, which is the lucky month, the good month for the Jews. But this fury, this lottery, this unwillingness to see the universe as being run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all got to be done by fate. It's got to be done through dice. There is actually an artifact. In the 1980s, they discovered an architectural artifact, a dice cube that was found with the word Pur on it from the 9th century before the Common Era. And according to W.W. Hallow, who was a historian who wrote about that, he wrote a book called The Biblical Archaeologist. He said, the dice serves a wider purpose. It illustrates how widespread was belief in a predetermined fate, considered important for men to cooperate to succeed. So you're just the tool. The Marxists say the same thing. We're just the tool of economic forces. So there's something bigger than us that pushes us around, which is why a philosopher I mentioned before who came to lecture at my college once said, there's no such thing as evil because it's all predetermined anyway. Given that the Jews lived in a fate-ridden culture while they inhabited Persia and other lands of exile, we can comprehend a belief in the power of their God to overrule the way the dice fell. So the Jews saw better. The Jews knew better than to trust the dice. Even after the dice fall, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be the one to reverse what the dice have to say. But people even today are still looking for some kind of astrological understanding of the world to say, our fates are in the hands of the stars and you're a Cancer rising and that's what your problem is. Rather than to say that there's something bigger than your card game, there's something bigger than your lottery.